Sodom was not judged for one sin, but for crossing a line that God Himself had drawn. Tonight, we examine what Sodom represents prophetically and why it matters to us living in the world today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Another episode of Last Christian. And this is our Bible study show midweek, especially if you start your week on Sunday and it's not the Saturday. Anyway, we're going to have a great time today. We're moving on in Genesis 18 and even like up into 19. We're going to be talking about Sodom and what it represents prophetically and also how it ties in. I mean, sometimes we hear all these stories and we don't realize that they're tied together. And it's interesting, and we're going to get into that. But Joel, how often do we find like interesting things in the Bible even after studying it for 40 years?
Every day. Yeah. Every day. And basically in, you know, if you actually read it every day. Yeah, it's real simple.
Yeah, like just the other day, it was in the first, I think it was 1 Corinthians, I believe it was 11:19. Mm-hmm. You know, and it, being content creators like we are, and then, you know, being in Christian groups and stuff online, it's quite interesting to get in there and find people that are just whacked out.
Yeah. You can tell, you know, the ones that, like, actually read the Bible and those that were told what it says.
Yeah. But I think my biggest ones is when you find the atheists in the creation groups.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And yeah. I think we've mentioned this several times, but it's the same thing. Why are you in a creation group if you don't even believe in creation,
right,
or that there's a God? Why are you here wasting your time? Because that's all you're doing. You have a limited amount of time in your miserable little life of a few seconds here. Go make the best of it. You know, what difference does it make? Go rob a bank. Go take people's stuff. Just live up wild on the hog, as they call it. I think that's what the term is, you know, and go just live it up. Why even bother? You're going to die and that's the end of it. You know, if that's what they really believe.
I don't get it either, because, you know, I guess they think they're going to change somebody's mind or something.
But what difference does it make? They're just going to die and go into oblivion anyway.
Have their opinion affirmed, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What difference does it make?
Yeah. It doesn't. It's crazy. You know, you are correct. It's crazy.
Who cares about your opinion?
Yeah.
Listen, if I didn't believe there was a God, I wouldn't care. Who cares about my opinion? I just want to do this because it feels good now, and I'm not going to be here soon.
Right.
But there they are arguing. Mm, oh, you're silly. You don't believe science. And seriously. So that's part of it. Where was I going with that? I don't know. Now I'm annoyed.
That there's always something. Yeah, that there's always something to learn.
Oh,
the Bible.
Yeah. First Corinthians. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
1 Corinthians 11:19. And he says, there will always be heresies among you. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, why? Well, it's specifically to, you know, to prove who's a believer. Let's look it up. Mm-hmm. It's actually pretty good.
Yeah. While you're doing that, I ran across a news story this week, and actually it was about a singer back in the 70s that I was familiar with that had died. And I pulled up his, I told you, I always want to know whether or not they were a Christian or not. So I pulled up his information, and it gave me another guy, okay, who happened to be a minister of many, many years. And he had changed his tune at some point and said that there was no hell. And then he said that he wore being called a heretic like a badge of honor. Now, of course, he's deceased now, so he knows he's wrong. And I'm sure, you know, he had a mega church. That's the reason his name popped up, because he had a mega church at one time. And he lost basically all of his congregants when he went when he fell off the ledge, right? But anyway, he did find some little church. I think it was in Indianapolis, maybe, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there. You know that there are heretics even in the pulpit.
Yeah, and it says 1 Corinthians 11:19, for there must also be factions against you. or heresies. That word can be heresies. So now here's the reason why. So that those who are approved may become evident among you. In other words, it's to shine the light on the people who are real Christians.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, all right. I guess we welcome them.
Yeah. we fight them. We fight them hard, but yeah, I mean, they're there.
Yeah, you're just proving that I'm speaking the truth here.
Right.
That works.
Right.
We'll do it. Let's do it.
Okay.
All right. So let's look at Genesis chapter 18, shall we?
Okay.
And what? Where is the scenario here? Scenario is this. The Lord appeared unto him at the plains of Mamre, and he sat at the tent door in the heat of the day. And he looked up, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and he bowed himself towards the ground. Okay? So they were near. So he's just hanging out, sitting at the tent. It's hot. And these three guys show up.
Okay, now who are we talking about here? I don't think we identified
Abraham. We're in the middle of Genesis. Who else is?
I'm just clarifying here, okay? Go ahead.
All right. Oh, we forgot to pray. Father, lead us and guide us. And open our hearts and minds so we can understand this stuff. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Sorry about that. I should have remembered that myself.
So here's the deal. Here's the timeline. Mm-hmm. So Abram was 99, okay? He was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13, and he was circumcised, all right, in the same day. And all the men of his house, born in his house, bought with the money of a stranger, were circumcised with him. All right, so now they're all circumcised, which is a covenant promise. Remember? So that was a sign of the covenant, an outward sign, and that's where we get, you know, blood and everything. But it's also indicative of now, because it is a circumcision, and for those who know what that is, the seed has to pass through there in order to, you know, plant and become another person. So now all of his offspring have to go through the covenant first. That's why it was there. It's not like, hey, let me cut your finger off or something,
right,
you know?
Right.
And that's what it is. And there's people that cry about it today. Oh, that's butchery. That's this and that and the other. It's a sign of a covenant. Right. That now the covenant goes through this circumcision operation, and then it's justified. And that's because you have to tie the physical with the spiritual. So apparently he knows who these three dudes are. Because in 18:3 he says, and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. So he's like, oh, it's you. I'm glad you're here. If I have found favor, don't go away.
Yeah.
Please.
Okay.
Here's a little water, and let's wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. I'll get a morsel of bread, comfort your hearts, and after that you should go. And then, therefore, are you come to your servant? And they said, so do as thou hast said. They're like, okay, sounds good. And Abraham hastened unto the tent of Sarah, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran to the herd to fetch a calf under tender and good, and gave it to a young man, and he hastened to dress it. So now he cuts his calf up. He took butter and milk. Check this out. He took butter and milk and the calf, which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. What sounds weird about that to you?
Well, the milk part is what jumps out at me.
Why is that?
Well, David, you would ask me that. There's a part in the Bible there that says that you're not supposed to cook the calf, or I believe, in the milk of the mother or something like that.
Right.
Okay. So yeah, that's what jumped out. Go ahead.
Yeah. So we'll touch on that for a minute. So all the kosher laws today say you can't have, you know, meat and dairy in the same meal, and you got to wait X amount of hours between it. You got to have two different dishwashers. You got all this stuff going.
Okay.
All right. And they got that from one verse, which says, do not boil the calf in its mother's milk.
Okay.
It doesn't say anything about cheeseburgers or any of that.
Okay. That's all add-on stuff. Okay.
Yeah, it really is. But there's a reason for that, because they were so bent. They were so legalistic that here's this fence. All right. This fence says do not boil a calf in his mother's milk. Why? Because those were pagan rituals. Okay. Mm. And it was a sacrifice to a pagan god to do that on purpose.
Okay.
It doesn't say in another cow's milk. It doesn't say you can't drink milk in the same meal. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say any of that. You cannot boil it in its own mother's milk.
Yeah.
Because that was specifically a pagan ritual, which we don't have time to get into. Go look it up.
Okay, well, let me ask a question real quick. Because you know, we're always talking about the Torah or the Tanakh or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the other one that's written by the...
Talmud.
Yeah. Okay. So does that, what we've just described there, is that written in the Talmud?
That's the Talmud. All the kosher laws are written in there.
Okay.
And what they did, now they have this thing that they're not supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here it is. Right. Now, what they do is they don't even want to get close to it. So what they do is they build a big old fence around it like this.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. And they make up all of these laws, you know. Okay. You're fancy.
Gotcha. Okay.
So they make up all of these laws to keep you this far away so you don't accidentally get this far away.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. I gotcha. That's what happens with a lot of this Talmudic stuff, is they just make up their own rules, you know, to do this. And that Jesus constantly went against that. He's like, yeah, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. But they're like, oh, you can't pick this up, and you can't pick a grain of wheat, and you can't. Right. No, he said, just don't work. Relax that day. But if you got to eat something, grab it, you know, and eat.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, or if your animal's stuck in a ditch, you're going to get it out, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not work. It's something. It's just something you got to do. It's not like you went out to do business or something. And
why do the Jews hold so tight to this Talmud thing that is not actually biblical over what is actually biblical? I don't get it.
They honor their forefathers. So they put so much honor in what the rabbis say.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of them, obviously they're men, so they get way off the deep end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is Abraham, and he served a non-kosher meal here, but there's a lot of money in kosher stuff. You got to pay the rabbi to come out.
Yeah.
You got to, you know, and then keep all these different rules. They can charge more for it. There's a lot of money in it, so they're not going to actually read the Bible and do it. It's just a tradition that they have. Okay. I mean, there's obvious things. Don't eat pigs because they're nasty. But the reason back then is they didn't do what we do to them now. So if you get, you know, which probably makes it worse, they get vaccinated pigs and kills all the parasites and that, which probably makes it worse anyway. So we just don't eat pork. But it's not for the same reasons. excuse me. So they built this fence around it that don't eat the two together, just so you don't get close to that one.
Okay.
And that's why you see the sinks in all the, you know, the Jewish restaurants, because they got to go wash their hands before and after they eat. I think it's before. It's one. It's both, I think. Anyway, they got to go wash their hands. So there's that. The little side note, little rabbit trail. I think rabbits aren't kosher either. So
yeah, probably not. Yeah. Okay.
Where you know locusts are kosher, but rabbits aren't.
Mm, yeah, well, they can keep the locusts. So I'm good with that.
Yeah, I'm going to eat the bug, but not that. Anyway. Yeah. And they said unto him, "Where's Sarah?" And he's like, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Well, we all know what the time of life is.
Mm-hmm.
So they were going to come back and say, okay, your wife's pregnant. So what I want to point out is here's the conception of Isaac written into this. When they come back, Isaac's going to have this kid. And it's tied in to the same timing as we're going to see here. Those three guys... Two of them are going to get up and walk over to Sodom. See, they're in the back.
Yeah, there they go. Yeah, there's the two angels walking towards Sodom there in the background. Let me put that up full screen there, David, where people can get a real glimpse of it. Because it's, there you go. You over there in the left-hand corner, you got Abraham negotiating, and then the two angels headed towards.
How about if we do 10?
Yeah, there you go. Okay, all right.
I don't know if that's an actual picture.
AI generated, I can promise you that.
The AI is not so bad after all.
Depends on how you use it.
Yeah. Like if I can make me riding in Santa's sleigh, that'd be cool.
That's just funny stuff. Yeah. Okay.
I did figure it out, though. I know how Santa gets all of the chimneys in one night. Oh, well, all the Gentile boys and girls.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he's because I've been studying quantum entanglement,
mm-hmm.
and with quantum entanglement, I think he can actually get that done.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. And then there's time loops. So I suspect that in the quantum, and it really depends on who's watching him or not. You know, when we understand how light works, it's if you're watching it, it acts one way. And if you're not watching it, it acts a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if all of us don't look out for Santa, he can get to all of the chimneys in one night.
Well, mate, we'll talk about that one next week because, you know, our next Bible study night actually falls on Christmas.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Yeah.
And we can see if anybody got their toys.
Yeah.
All right. I do like St. Nicholas, though, because if you know the original story of St. Nick, obviously the other things that we have today were embellished. But the original St. Nick was one of the early church fathers. He was in on that. Mm-hmm. And he punched a guy out for being a heretic.
There you go.
I guess he didn't read 1 Corinthians 11:19. We need the heretics to point out the good ones. Yeah. Or maybe that's what they did. He punched him out. And he's like, oh, Santa's a good guy.
Mm-hmm. There you go. You're going to read it both ways. Yeah. Okay, continue.
All right, sorry. It's one of those days.
I hear you.
So here they are. We know the story. You're going to get, you know, even though you're old, you're going to have a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And she laughed, so they named him Isaac. Yeah, we're going to name him Laughter, so you remember mm-hmm, that the whole time. Mm-hmm. Okay, but check this out. He's like, they did laugh, and the men rose up. So she laughed. They said, nah, you laughed. And then they get up, and they look towards Sodom.
Mm-hmm.
It's all in the same story. It's the same narrative. It's the same event.
Right.
And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. So he's like, oh, yeah, it's this way. Mm-hmm. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing that I do? So look at this. We're going into Sodom.
Mm-hmm.
But where do we just come from? He got circumcised. He's hanging out in his tent. It's really hot. The Lord shows up. And we suspect it's, you know, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But it says two angels, which, you know, they're basically messengers, which can be that way. So it's mm-hmm. what's called a theophany, okay. where it's just the where God shows up in human form.
Mm-hmm.
And Abraham kind of implies that where he says, oh, Lord, then even says in 13, and the Lord said to Abraham. So obviously mm-hmm. it was him. Just, you know, what about the other two? I suspect it was the Son and the Spirit. But angels nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the men rose up and looked towards Sodom. So here he gets circumcised. Everybody in the house gets circumcised. These dudes show up. He feeds them a non-kosher meal. And then it says, you laugh, so you're going to name your kid Isaac. And then they get up and go to Sodom, like all in the same event. And you're like, what's that all about? Mm-hmm. Well, if you knew what Sodom was about, you'd be like, oh, yeah, we got to go judge them. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation. Now, here he is. He didn't even have Isaac yet. Matter of fact, he wasn't even conceived yet, but they said he will become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him.
Mm-hmm.
For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they will keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. I'm still waiting to see that, but the promise is there.
Mm-hmm.
They will keep the way of the Lord.
Yes.
They haven't yet. Throughout the last 3,000 years.
Yeah.
Maybe 4,000 now.
Yeah.
But he's like, it's a city to come. They will. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is grievous. Well, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. So the cry is great, but the sin is grievous. So it's both. So mm-hmm. people crying about the sin. Let's take a look. See what other versions we can come up with.
Yeah,
the outcry of Sodom.
Mm-hmm. Okay, they're crying because the sin is. I'm not getting that. Are they saying because you know they're crying out because it's so bad or what? What? Exactly?
Well, that's what I'm going to look at. Let's take a look.
Okay.
And the Lord said, "The outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their mm-hmm. sin is exceedingly grave." Okay, and that word is zaka, a shriek.
Okay.
Or an outcry. So the question becomes, are some of the people shrieking out because it is so bad?
Right.
Okay. Or is this sin so bad that everybody's shrieking and not necessarily crying out to the Lord?
Yeah, that was what my not put together correctly question was all about.
Yeah. <Go ahead. laughs> But he says, I will go down now in verse 21 and see if they have done entirely according to its outcry. So that would seem to imply that some people are complaining about it,
mm-hmm.
which was come to me, and if not, I will know. So are some people down there doing it? Mm-hmm. Or maybe, you know, an angel is down there looking at it? So we don't know. If I'm just to read this in the English, it would suggest to me that some of the people are crying out because the, you know, it's kind of like America. This mm-hmm. sin in America is great, but there's a remnant that's crying out to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Right. So then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom while Abraham was still standing before the Lord. And that's when we see him up over here. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Abraham came near, and this is where they all learned it. Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? So there's more corroborating evidence that there are a few righteous in there mm-hmm. that are crying out.
Okay.
Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. You know, so he starts out high, right? Typical. Mm-hmm. Listen, I deal with Jews all the time. This is what they do.
Okay.
Hey, can I have this for, you know, like I was maybe when I was selling roofing? Hey, well, can you do it for $10,000? Yeah, you know what? Let's do that. Let's get us a. Well, you know what? Can we make it $9,500? I was like, we just agreed on $10,000. You know what? How about 9,000? How about we do, yeah, come on, let's do a 9,000 right now. You fake the call to your boy. Come here. All right, 9,000. Well, I'll tell you what. There's another guy down the street. He said he'd do it for 8,500. I mean, this is just what they do.
Uh-huh.
And this is where they learned it.
Great negotiations, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And mm-hmm. yeah, I guess there's nothing wrong with that, but still, stop being annoying. If you agree to something, do it.
It sounds like it sounds like the negotiation. I used to go to Mexico a lot. Okay, and that's exactly what it sounds like there. It sounds like Mexico, except it's the other way around. It's the American that's negotiating with the Mexican people. You know.
So here's Abraham. You do it for 50? Mm. No, I won't do it for 50. All right. One more thing. How about 40? All right. You know, he's like, okay, so we're now down to 40. All right, listen, I don't want to make you mad, but how about 30? he works his way all the way down to 10.
Yeah.
And it's like, why isn't God getting annoyed with this dude? You know, just, you know what, forget it, I'm out. Because he was righteous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and apparently there's something in there that was seeking him and actually negotiating with God. And that just says, wow, he understands that we are joint heirs with Christ, even though it, you know, it'll come out of his seed 4,000 years later.
Mm-hmm.
But he was, he understood that he was part of the divine council, if you would. Because he says that we'll rule and reign with him. Mm-hmm. And he understood it back then is by faith, Abraham did this and is, right? So I can see that where God's like, okay, he gets it. You know, now we're two counselors, and he gave us authority over the earth. He gave us a title deed. He says, now you take authority over here, just like I have authority in heaven. This is your domain. And Satan kind of usurped that from us with this whole sin thing that's going on. So the he understands as a man, he has dominion and authority that was given to him by the Father, so he can negotiate these things. Mm-hmm. I don't think that was a bad thing. I think it was a very good thing, because he does say, the Lord always says, come, let us reason together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Well, that's what right. does that mean? That's not an adhesion contract where it says, hey, this is what it says. This is what you're going to do, like a dog. You know, mm-hmm. you're going to be a dog and you're going to bark mm-hmm. and crap on the ground. And so the dog's got no choice. Dog can't negotiate. Dog's going to say, well, listen, mm-hmm. how about, you know, if I was able to talk? Now, mm-hmm. you're a dog, you're going to bark. So, but men are allowed to negotiate with God because we're made in their image and after their likeness. Two different things.
Right.
So that's that. We didn't even get to Sodom yet.
We're getting there. We're getting there.
Yeah, we'll get. Who knows? Maybe we'll get there today. But there's just so much wrapped up in this. Mm-hmm. Now he gets down to 10. Why did he stop at 10?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah, there's lots and lots of things. I think it's a combination because it's always like that in the Bible.
Okay.
Okay. I think part of it is 10 is a governmental. When they say ecclesia, the called out ones, when mm-hmm. you wanted to start a new governmental body in any place, you'd have to have 10 deciding men. Oh. And they, you know, we're going to see, they talked about the elders at the gate here mm-hmm. And a bunch of different things. So it's all like contract language. You need okay. 10 to make decisions.
Oh, okay.
But I also think possibly, I'm not dogmatic about this one, but it's because of his family. Because remember, mm-hmm. Lot was in there. That's who he's negotiating for.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he cared about Sodom. He's like, my nephew's in there. Oh, and it was Lot.
I had never thought of that. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. All right. That's why he's negotiating about the righteous. Otherwise, mm-hmm. what does he care? He's like, yeah, take another one out. I'll take the land. That'd be great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But no, his nephew's in there whom he loves dearly. Okay. Now, if I kind of figured that out. He said there's Lot and his wife, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then his two daughters that are at home, right?
Uh-huh, right.
Okay, so there's four.
Right.
And then she said there's sons. So let's assume there's at least two. So sons is bink, we're up to six.
Right.
All right. Okay. And then he says there's sons-in-law. So that means a daughter and a husband and a daughter and a husband.
Oh, that would, yeah. Okay. Okay.
So to me, that would fit, although the narrative nowhere says anything like that, mm-hmm. but it does fit the motif of 10. And I think it's a combination, probably the governmental structure
okay.
and the possibility of he had 10 family members there. And that's why he stopped at 10.
Okay. I got
that second one's conjecture, but a good mm-hmm. one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. That's something I've always wondered about, David, to be honest with you. You know, why did he stop at 10? Why did he go, you know, all the way down to one or two? You know, and that both of those are good explanations and good ways to go there. All right, we're down here to the end of the first half. You want to finish it off there?
Yeah. Listen, judgment is coming, just like Sodom. And that was a directed hit from a giant asteroid. You don't want that to happen to you. So no. I suggest that just like Lot was pulled out, which we'll see later, that you accept Jesus' contract and get pulled out with us. We'll see ya.
Every day on Revelation Radio, strengthen your faith with the transforming word with Dr. Mike Spaulding for clear and bold Bible teaching that is rooted firmly in Scripture. Join us twice daily at 8:30 a.m. Eastern, 7:30 a.m. Central, and again 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central. And be sure to visit drmikespaulding.com for even more information about the Transforming Word Radio broadcast, daily, right here on revelationradio.net.
They want you silent. She won't be. The Sutherland Report with Mark Sutherland cuts through the noise. Tackling global agendas, cultural chaos, and the spiritual battles raging behind the headlines. Truth isn't trendy. It's eternal. The Sutherland Report, airing daily at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central, right here on Revelation Radio, where the unfiltered, uncensored truth still exists.
So guess what?
We have returned.
We returned. We didn't get raptured yet. Not so yet. We're working. I wonder this, because you know it's not a disappearing, right? So no. I wonder if we get raptured and we're glowing in the dark, and like, then we could still stay on the show.
I'm hoping.
That'd be cool. And like, yeah. We could show everybody, hey, look, I told you. Mm-hmm. Look, I'm all young and new again.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that that's the case. You know, I mean, I used to think, you know, rapture is like, bam, you're out of here. And now, after looking at it, no. Okay. Mm. Read the verses. All right. Okay, David. All right. Let's get back to talking about.
We were in the middle of the outcry. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's basically Zaka. Everyone say Zaka.
Zaka. Okay.
Yeah, close. And it's a legal cry for justice.
Oh, okay.
And see, people don't realize that. It's not just a cry out, but it's actually legal. Let me see if I can pull it out.
Okay.
And get even a deeper thing. And okay. So remember, there's 40, there's 30, there's 10, according to his outcry.
I'm just amazed at how much, you know, ever since you pointed out to me initially, you know, and I find more and more every day, you know. That the Bible is a legal document. It's really cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool. When you discover it, it's really cool.
Yeah, the cries of outrage regarding sin, okay, and because of her oppression in Exodus 3:7, it's used of a deep despairing cry over calamity, cries of dismay and distress. So it's like you going to the judge and saying, hey, give me some justice here.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, that's it. All right. So we're talking about the legal outcry. Oh, I got to go back over here. And it's used elsewhere, like I said, in Genesis 4:10. His blood cried out. Okay. Remember Cain and Abel?
Yes.
Where his blood cried out. And that was a cry for justice again. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's a legal cry. And then enslaved Israel, we just talked about in Exodus 3:7. So God does not judge at first offense, okay? What he does, he's long-suffering, and he gives you an opportunity to cure. We were just having a discussion about a legal document, which it says, listen, you messed up, but I'm gracious. Here's an opportunity for you to fix that.
Okay.
And Sodom represents this... the culture where the measure of iniquity is full. It says until the fullness comes in. Let's look at Genesis 15:16.
Okay.
Yay. And so he's talking about when you go in. But in the fourth generation, also come here again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And so he's talking about, he's making a covenant with Abram way back then. And he says, you know, you can't go in there yet because the iniquity of the Amorites. So the Amorites are there, and they're a Nephilim tribe. And they went out, but he doesn't have enough to judge them. And I like watching those shows, all of the detective shows and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're like, listen, we know this guy did it.
Yeah.
You know, they know they did it, but do they have the documenting evidence?
Right.
So even though you can suspect somebody, because there's hearsay, and then there's circumstantial evidence, like, well, you were in the area because your cell phone. Well, that doesn't mean I killed the guy.
Right.
Just because I was in the area. So they need this type of evidence. And God is a just God. So he's not just going to say, well, I know that they're bad people, so I'm just going to do it. And that's what he's talking about. The iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full in Genesis 15. But then we're going to see the same thing here. Now it came to a point where Sodom, the iniquity was full because they were coming to bring judgment. Mm-hmm. And they're like, now he sends the two bailiffs down. All right, go, you know, get me some information and check this out and see what it is and find out some more evidence. So that's kind of where we are with that. Isn't that neat?
Yeah. And the point jumped out at me, though, David, in reading this initially is the fact that God said something kind of strange to me. He said, should I keep this from Abraham? Should I keep it from him? I don't know. The only thing that pops out to me in that possibility is because Lot's there. Should I tell him because Lot's there, or, you know, just let this go?
Well,
or,
he doesn't even mention Lot. He's like, because
I know. He doesn't mention him. He doesn't mention him. I'm just saying, in God's mind, I know, and that's a really bad thing for me to try to do. But
don't look.
You know, if you know, should I tell Abraham about this? With Lot being there in that city, or should I just, you know, don't even worry about telling him anything? I mean, I don't know how else to read it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's clear to me that it's because he can trust him, and because he's willing to negotiate with him, and because he understands that he's going to be the father of these generations that are going to be a blessing to all nations of the world, because he told them so. It's like, oh, okay. Well, then I trust you, even though he didn't have a kid yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's what I see. He's like, he can trust Abraham, and he's his friend, and he's part of the council together with him, because they're making decisions together. But if they're making decisions together, I'm not going to tell him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There you I have go. To tell him so he can, you know, look at it and make a good decision and see that I am just.
I got you. It's true. I got you. Okay.
So that's kind of weird. And then let me see. In Ezekiel 16:49 says, "And this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, fullness of bread, pride, abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor or needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me before I took them away as I saw good." All right, so he's talking about, and he goes on some other nations too, but there's Sodom. They were full of it, fullness of all this stuff.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, I gave them their chance. Now it's time to bring the judgment.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we're headed right now in the world today.
Yes. Yes. I think, you know, the title here being What Sodom Represents Prophetically, and I think that's exactly what it represents prophetically, is the fact that we are looking at, basically the world is going right back to that again.
Yeah, it really is. And then there is the remnant that's called out. You see them all over the place, where people are just turning to the Lord. Even in most of the Islamic countries, they're turning to the Lord. I think France opened like 500 evangelical churches. It's like, France? have you met the French?
You're right.
they just have no inclination towards God at all. It's not even a consider. They don't even ask whether there is a God or not. They just assume that there isn't. But all of a sudden, now all these evangelical churches are popping up all over Spain. We know a couple friends in Italy that we've had on the show. The same thing. They're popping up everywhere because we're at the end of the age.
Right.
All right, and he's like he's separating the people. So now we see it, the oil and the water separating, if you would, because everything in creation does that.
Yeah.
So this is where we're at. It was at a boiling point for Sodom, and that's when he said, and we talked about sweeping the away from the wicked and the 10 people. All right, now chapter 19. Now two angels came into Sodom in the evening. As Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. Okay? So that is another possibility of 10 righteous.
Okay, explain.
Remember, because the any ecclesiastical government would require 10. And he's sitting at the gate, and those were the people that made the decisions. They were kind of like the judges. So you have that. That's kind of a distant possibility that that's why he stopped at 10. Maybe he's got 10 righteous people sitting at the gate. So, and when Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. And he said, "Now behold, my lords, please turn aside into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet that you may rise early and go on your way." They said, however, "Nope, but we shall spend the night in the square," because they were there on a mission. to, like, you know, come have something to eat, get washed up. Mm-hmm. Like, nah, we got to go into the town square here. Okay. But he urged them strongly. So they turned aside and entered his house, and he prepared a feast for them and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now, why unleavened bread? I haven't looked into that.
Yeah.
But there it is.
You know? Okay.
When it's weird, you got to ask those questions.
Yeah.
So that's
yeah.
something to look into.
Yeah.
I looked into a lot of stuff with Lot, but I missed that one. So it's time to go back.
Until now. Until today.
Until now. Before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, surrounded the house, both young and old, and all the people from every quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So the entire town came in, all mm-hmm. right, from everywhere,
mm-hmm.
young men and old men. And what'd they say?
Send out the men.
Yeah, where mm-hmm. are the men who came to you tonight? Mm-hmm. Bring them out that we may have relations with them.
Mm-hmm.
All right? This is a family show. You all know what that means.
Right.
Okay? Which is where the term sodomy comes from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right? But Lot went to them at the doorway and shut the door behind him and said, "Please, my brothers, do not act wickedly. For behold, I have two daughters who have not had relations with a man. Please let me bring them out to you and do whatever you like. Only do nothing to these men. Inasmuch as they have come under the shelter of my roof." Now, how desperate do you have to be? You know,
that's rough right there. As a dad, I couldn't even imagine offering up your daughter.
Mm. Yeah, and to protect these two men. So, how important were these men?
Yeah,
that and then. To give two daughters.
Because they're strangers, right? I mean, did he recognize them as special strangers?
He must have recognized them.
Yeah.
Had to.
Mm.
He had to have recognized them for who they were.
Mm-hmm.
But they said, "Stand aside." Furthermore, they said, "This one came in as an alien, is already acting like a judge." Huh.
Hmm.
So now he's like, "You're telling me what to do? This is my town, right?" "Now we will treat you worse than them." So they pressed hard against Lot and came near to break the door. Man, can you imagine?
You're going to knock the door down.
So deranged. But the men reached out their hands and brought Lot into the house with them and shut the door. All right, so there you go. There's a little bit of protection going on from mm-hmm. these angels.
Yeah.
So we can see that even though people are trying to do crazy things to you, mm-hmm. the Lord will protect you.
Yes.
Even if you're doing stupid stuff like offering your daughters up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know? And the two men said to Lot, "Whom else have you here? A son-in-law, your sons and daughters, and whomever you have in the city, bring them out of the place." Okay.
Whoever you have in the city. I missed that one now.
Yeah.
Where did that come from? Oh, that's another one I missed. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So there you got the numbers that two men, you know, said the Lot. Now he's talking to the people. Why? Because Abraham asked God, "Hey, what if there's 10 righteous?"
Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to bring them. Okay, why don't we gather all those 10 righteous people?
Mm.
Who else you have here? Your son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, or whoever else got in the city.
Yeah.
"For we are about to destroy this place because their outcry has become so great before the Lord that the Lord has sent us to destroy it."
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Is that reminiscent of the angels in the book of Revelation where they're pouring out the bowls of wrath? Like your picture, you got a bowls of wrath over it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's so are they the same angels? Or is it the same, you know, is it still God pouring out his wrath?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all the same with the divine counsel thing. So we'll find out soon enough.
Yes.
But there's also reason to believe that a couple of the angels were prophets in Revelation. We'll get to that if we ever get to the book of Revelation.
Yeah. That's unlikely, by the way, but, you know.
Well, if we keep doing it this way, maybe one day we'll start there and say, "Hey, you know what?"
If we go in the order of the books. And by the way, real quick, before he goes on, Genesis is not the first book of, it's the first book that appears in the Bible, but it's not the first book of the Bible. I mean, if you look at Job,
not the oldest book is what you mean.
Right, right. That's okay. Thank you for cleaning that up for me. But yeah, there you go.
Okay. Yeah, that's the book of Job was actually a little bit.
Right, right.
Well, that's what they suspect. I wasn't there, so not that all. I think Mick Jagger was there, but I was.
Who knows? Yeah. What's the other guy's name? Keith Richards. He was the okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so now check it out. In verse 14 here, it says, Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, remember, were to marry his daughters, and said, up out of this place, and the Lord will destroy the city. But he appeared to his sons-in-law to be jesting. In other words, they thought he was an idiot.
Yeah, they thought he was playing a joke, is what it sounds like to me.
Yeah. Okay. And let's look up the word jesting, actually.
Okay.
And it says, let me see. All right. It is a sock, primitive root to laugh outright by implement to sport, laugh, mock, play. But he appeared, in other words, they thought he was joking.
Yeah. They didn't take him seriously at all.
Yeah. It's like, no, you're kidding. What do you mean there's angels here and they're going to destroy the whole town?
Yeah.
You're kidding, right? And they're like, no, I'm not kidding. But they love Sodom so much. Mm-hmm. And they just didn't want to pay any attention to him.
Right.
So there's 10 out the door. So here comes the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay, well, they're gone, so... you're less than 10. Deal's off.
There you go.
Yeah. And when the morning dawned, now check this out.
Mm-hmm.
So they're up all night trying to fight all the homos. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They blind them. And when morning dawned, the angels urged Lot saying, get up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you'll be swept away in the punishment of the city. So who's left? His two daughters.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to his sons and his sons-in-law?
Yeah, they're out there partying with everybody else, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then what about the other two daughters that were married to his sons-in-law?
They stayed with their husband.
Yeah. So that's what it appears to. It depends on how you read the language. Some of them say, well, they were sons-in-law because they were engaged to these two girls.
Mm-hmm.
But if they were engaged, he wouldn't have the right to give them away to the people. Right. So there's that. So I suspect it was the two other daughters because he says here, take the two daughters who are here with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In verse 15. Mm-hmm. And as implying, leave the other ones or you will be swept away in the punishment of the city. So he wound up with his wife and two daughters. That's four, which is less than 10. So that's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
So check it out. But he hesitated. So Lot hesitated. That's kind of like most of the church today. There is the remnant of us that are like, yeah, let's go now. Okay. But there's so many that are here and they love this world so much, or they feel like, oh, we're going to fight. We're going to be the victors in the tribulation period. I'm like, sorry, you're not. Because he overcomes
the way I look at it is that, you know, I can, as just as a human being, you look around you and you go, I just bought this TV not too long ago.
Yeah.
That's a really nice unit right there, you know. And good
we
grief,
just got
you know,
a new house.
Do you have any idea how much stuff is out there in my storage shed? I mean, come on now. You know, that's kind of how I look at it, you know.
Like the young people. Oh, I want to get married first.
Yeah. My computer, you know, just, you know.
Listen, trust me. You're going to like heaven better than marriage.
Right.
I'm just saying. Both of us are going to like heaven better than marriage, me and my wife. That's because we're both fallible humans at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So he took him out, but he hesitated. So here's all this hesitation going on, which is the same thing today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the men seized his hand and the hand of his wife and the hands of his two daughters, for the compassion of the Lord was upon him. Mm-hmm. And they brought him out and put him outside the city.
Whoosh.
Whoosh. Does that sound like they're running?
No, it sounds like whoosh. They're just,
grabbed them. And because now he's got the compassion of the Lord, mm-hmm. and then they're like, okay, we're out. Boom. Right. Mm-hmm. And they're outside the city.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Says nothing about they ran out. Nothing about there's a gate. Nothing about dodging going, all the
yeah, going by all those people front. And all that yeah. stuff. Those people weren't involved in it in any way, shape, or form. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and you know they're out there with pitchforks and mm-hmm. lanterns. And mm-hmm. they're trying to do what they're doing because they were waiting all night long. Mm-hmm. They're like the zombie movies.
Right.
Like, now you know why we're burning you up. You're an idiot. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's a picture of the rapture right there. Most people mm-hmm. don't realize that. He was. Mm-hmm. They were hesitant, okay? And here we got the wife, when we get out, she turns around. It's like, what are you doing? So I'm wondering how many of the church will be like that. That'd be weird because here it is, a type and a pattern, right?
Yeah, I wonder.
And when he brought them outside, one said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you and do not stay anywhere mm-hmm. in the valley. Mm-hmm. Escape to the mountains or you will be swept away. So that's interesting to me because this is clearly a picture of the rapture. You grab him by the hand and say, we're out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like just before the destruction came, will there be some who look back and say, my TV?
I hope not. Yeah. That would be awful.
Yeah. And who are they? And mm-hmm. what? Imagine that they actually grab you and take you out to be in the rapture. And then you mm-hmm. turn around and put yourself back.
Oh, that'd be awful.
There's going to be something wrong with you.
Oh, I'll have nightmares about that. No, that can't happen.
Well, it's not going to happen to me.
No. Well, you know, it says in an instant we'll be changed. So I ain't got to worry about it no more. I'm done.
Yep.
I'm good.
So Lot said to them, oh, no, my lords. Now behold, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have magnified your loving kindness, which you have shown me by saving my life, but I cannot escape to the mountains, for the disaster will overtake me and I will die. Now behold, this town is near enough for me to flee to, and it is small. Please let me escape there. Is it not small that my life may be saved? Interesting. He said to them, behold, I grant this request also, not to overthrow the town of which you have spoken. I have no idea what that means, but it's interesting.
Mm. Well, we know it's not no more.
That one for a while. I mean, it took me years to find out the 10, and I had some kind of epiphany. Now I'm looking at this. There's so much in there, but it's clearly a picture of the rapture where he grabs them by the hand and then they're out just before the judgment.
Yeah, right there.
But here's the cool part. He says, hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. Therefore, the name of the town was called Zoar. The sun had risen over the earth when Lot came to Zoar. So now the sun came up. So all this happened just before the sun came up. But look at this little verse in 22. It says, I can't do anything until you get there.
Yeah, that jumped out at me too. Come on now. These towns weren't like right next to each other where you're there in mm-hmm. 30 seconds or something. I mean, it's going to take you some time to get there unless you're,
So here's a possible picture, again, conjecture, but since we know we just don't disappear in an instant, but we're mm-hmm. changed in an instant,
mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if we are just like Lot, maybe grabbed by the hand and changed. Now we're outside of all this stuff mm-hmm. and we have the option because now we just got glowing dark bodies. We're walking around, remember, just like the mm-hmm. Matthew 27:52. Mm-hmm. So they're walking around and they were resurrected and people saw them. Now I wonder if we're walking around and some of these people, they're saying, listen, I can't bring the judgment until you guys
finally
get over there.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is, in my eyes, to the Lord. And then maybe some of those people do look back and turn into a pillar of salt. Mm-hmm. He says, I can't do anything or you will be swept away. That's a scary thought, to actually be changed and then turn around and go back. Mm. Is that even possible? Mm. I don't know.
That's tough, you know. The reason I say that I'm not buying into that one is, you know, when you're changed, you're changed in an instant. There isn't anything that I've read anywhere else in the Bible that says, but if you do something else, we're going to transport you back.
Yeah, and this is the only place I see anything like that. Mm-hmm. Whereas his wife turned back.
Yes. Yeah.
So, and they said, I can't bring the judgment until you get there. What does all that mean?
The way I look at that one is the judgment is the 3.5 years, mm-hmm. then appearing in the temple, and then another 3.5 years, the tribulation, the judgment really coming with that, and afterwards, immediately afterwards. I don't know. We're going down another rabbit hole there, David. You can get
His wife looked back.
Okay.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
What does that mean? All right, Father, we need more revelation on that.
Yeah,
that's just weird. I mean, how many people have come up mm-hmm. over the centuries and said, "Well, it means this."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that is a good question. I'm going to have to do some. Yeah, we need to go. Yeah.
Yeah, let's look it up. See if anyone else has any ideas. And see
I'm going to have to do that.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So he had the sun risen over the earth when he's in Zoar. The Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. So he's really good with his aim. So that mm-hmm. was good.
Yeah.
And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the land. And they're actually finding all that today.
Mm-hmm.
But his wife from behind him looked back and she became a pillar of salt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now in the Hebrew language, that could mean before the judgment came, she looked back, and because of the judgment became a pillar of salt. But in the English, it looks like after the judgment came, then she looked back. Mm. So you see what I'm saying? It's a timing thing with the Hebrew and the way they tell stories. So that's interesting. I have to look into that one too. I'll let you guys know next week. So, and check it out. Abraham rose early in the morning and went to the place where he had stood before the Lord. So remember he asked about the 10?
Mm-hmm.
So he goes back there and he looked down towards Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the valley and saw, and behold, the smoke of the land ascended like the smoke of a furnace.
Mm.
Thus it came about when God destroyed the cities of the valley, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot lived. And Lot went up to Zoar and stayed in the mountains, him and his two daughters with him, for he was not afraid to stay there. And he stayed in a cave, he and his two daughters. So I kind of look at that whole cave thing as, mm-hmm. you know, when we are raptured, we do go into our chamber to prepare for the wedding that's coming.
Right.
And this will kind of fit that narrative as well. Again, prophecy is esoteric. The minute after it happens, we'll know what it meant, but we're just trying to look at it now. Right now, we look through a glass dimly. But that looks like, you know, he was waiting there for the judgment to be over so he can come out and play. It's just interesting little typologies that are in there. If anyone has any ideas, send them to us.
Yeah.
All right? Please. You can actually send it to thehiddenday@protonmail.com, and we'll see if we can answer your questions.
Amen.
In the meantime, this question we do have answered, and that is, you can receive payment for all of your sins and be saved from the judgment that is to come by receiving the contract that Jesus shed his blood for you mm-hmm. to accept. I encourage you to do that. So, Lord willing, we will see you guys on the next show. Have a blessed day.
Sodom stands in Scripture as a warning, not a relic. A society that was given time, truth, and opportunity, yet choosing rebellion until mercy expired. The lesson is not curiosity, but discernment. There is a moment when intercession ends, separation begins, and judgment is no longer preventable, only escapable. The question is not whether Sodom will fall again, but whether we will recognize the time we are living in. Today.
What if the world you see isn't the whole story? Shadows of a Greater Reality dives deep into the unseen, exposing the spiritual, the prophetic, and the supernatural forces shaping our world. Hosted by Nestor Arise and David Paxton, often with guests from around the world, this is where conspiracy meets scripture, and the darkness is brought to light. Catch it every night at 11 Eastern, 10 Central, right here on Revelation Radio.